So remember driving directions before Apple Maps or Waze, right? You have to print up on MapQuest, right? The older people are like, listen, before that, no quest, just maps, right? Just maps to navigate where you had to get. Or maybe have you ever had a bad co-pilot where you are halfway through the intersection and they go, oh, make a right. Halfway through and you're like, come on, like I need like 50 foot minimum at least before the intersection is here, right? And so it reminds me of one time I had to pick up my sister Mick from work or school, and as Mick ran down the directions, the instructions to get me to where she was, they finished with this: turn at the Dunkin' Donuts. And so that's what I did. I got to the Dunkin' Donuts, I turned, I parked, I waited some more, and then my phone rings, and my caller ID is Mick. And so I pick up. Hey, Mick, where are you? I'm at the Dunkin'. Why are you at the Dunkin'? And I'm like, you said turn at the Dunkin'. And so I turned at the Dunkin', and this is where the fight between me and Mick happens every time we bring this story up. It's happened at least a dozen times at family gatherings, and it'll probably happen a dozen times more. But this is where the fight begins, because what Mick meant by turn at the Dunkin' is turn in the opposite direction of the Dunkin', which was never specified. So I saw the sign. I turned, and apparently to Mick saying turn at the Dunkin', I was supposed to just understand that when I saw the Dunkin', I had to turn the other way. Just a quick show of hands, who would have turned into the Dunkin'? Thank you, Mick. Like every hand is up, okay? I texted her before and I said, you made it into my sermon tonight, just letting you know. So, my instructions for the sign, they weren't clear, and I wound up in the wrong place. Luke 21, verses 29 through 36 say this. And he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So the main idea for tonight is this: prayer provides the proper perspective for us to focus on our response to the signs of the times. Now, after that incident, every time Mick gave me directions, I learned to pray first. Because understanding Mick can only be done through prayer and fasting. But church, the reality is that we need to live with a prayer-provided proper perspective of the times we live in, so that when the signs come, we can not only identify them, but then respond to them accordingly. So to help us accomplish this, I want to do something a little different. I want to take the last verse of the passage and read it first, so that we can keep this first part of the message in proper perspective. And the last verse says this: but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The key words from that verse: stay awake, pray, strength, and stand. Our first point is the lens through which we're going to view verses 29 through 33. And point one is this: prayer provided proper perspective develops appropriate understanding of the signs. Prayer provided proper perspective develops appropriate understanding of the signs. Verses 29 through 33 say this, and he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So in verses 29 through 31, it's fair to ask the question, what are we looking for, right? Because Jesus is talking about the fig tree again. And unlike last week when we talked about Jesus cursing the fig tree, right? Jesus was expecting to find figs on the tree because there were leaves on the tree. And it was understood that if there were leaves on the tree, there should be fruit on the tree. But Jesus changes it a little bit here. And he says, when you see leaves on the fig tree, it means you know that summer's almost here. And so that's what are we looking for? And when you look back at this chapter, I'm just going to give you the subtitles of the passages in my ESV study Bible. You see, in verses 5 to 9 of Luke 21, the subtitle of this passage is Jesus foretells destruction of the temple. Verses 10 to 19 have this subtitle: Jesus foretells wars and persecution. Verses 20 through 24, the subtitle is this: Jesus foretells the destruction of Jerusalem. And then verses 25 through 28, the subtitle is the coming of the Son of Man. So what I want you to understand is when Jesus is speaking here in verses 29 through 31 and through 33, and he's talking about signs to look out for, obviously within the context of 29 to 36, there is no specific sign. But when you look back at all that Jesus has been speaking about just in this chapter alone, you see the signs that he's talking about and you see the signs that he's pointing to. If you want to have an appropriate understanding of the times, understand Jesus's illustration of the fig tree in summer is not some vague, nebulous hint. The preceding 24 verses from this passage, Jesus lays out the signs to look for. Now, let me make sure we have proper perspective on this message. The focus of our message is prayer. That's what the focus of our Wednesday nights are. Our most important service of the week is dedicated to prayer. And so why do I say that? The focus of our message is prayer. And so I'm not going to be diving into all of the signs and when those signs might happen. In fact, looking at verse 32, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. I'm not here to tell you what the signs are that would indicate there are leaves on the fig tree. I'm not going to get into, listen, theologians have debated verse 32 for a long time. If that's your thing, go look it up. You will have a blast at people trying to figure out what verse 32 means exactly. We're not diving into the depths of verse 32, but there is a simple truth that I do want to share with you. No one knows the time or the hour. No one. And so this message, it's much like my Sunday message on the final judgment, where I told you my focus is just on the last piece of the puzzle. It's not on the 999 other pieces, it's just on the last piece. When these times come, my focus is on helping us understand the power of prayer-provided proper perspective that we can have in what are going to be trying times. Continuing in regard to timing, church, please realize this. It is horrible for our witness to even pretend to believe you know the time or the hour. Especially when scripture itself says no one does. There have been figures in the past who had figured out the date and they let everyone know on this date, it's all over. And some people, gullible enough, sold their houses, sold their cars, and they were like, I'm ready for Jesus to come back. And guess what? We're still here. Which means that person was wrong. So please, church, when it comes to talking about timing, if you have anyone look you in the eye and say, listen, here's the date, laugh and then walk away, because they don't know. No one knows the time or the hour. What's even more embarrassing is there was one individual who set the date, was clearly wrong, and then he was like, oh, I missed some things in like the original language. Now I have the correct numbers and here's the correct date. And here's the part that blows my mind. Some people still listen to him. And I'm like, he got it wrong the first time. He's gonna get it wrong again because no one knows. Are you with me on this, church? All right, so when it comes to timing, please, please don't. Please, when you see that silly pastor on his little Facebook Live because he's got a little platform on Facebook say, I figured out the date, just X out. Don't share it. Don't message it unless you want to say, ha-ha, look at how silly this guy is. Because no one knows the time or the hour. And if there's a sub-point that I'm trying to make here in point one, it's this. Proper perspective, it helps us to understand we watch for signs, we don't dwell on the time. We watch for the signs to indicate the times, we don't dwell on trying to figure out the times. And so with that said, we can turn our focus to the reality of it all from verse 33, which says this, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. If there's anything we can have utmost confidence in, it's in what Jesus says. Because this verse tells us the heavens and earth will pass away, but his words won't. The signs are a big deal because they will be pointing to an unfolding of events that eventually does away with this world, with these bodies, and we have new bodies in new heavens and a new earth because his word will stand even though the heavens and the earth will pass. Can I get an amen that Jesus' words will stand? Right? And so the snapshot of verses 29 through 33, it brings into focus our first point. Prayer provided proper perspective. It develops an appropriate understanding of the signs. Point two is based on verses 34 through 36. And point two says this. Prayer provided proper perspective. It gives us a focus that looks beyond the day-to-day and sees the end. Verses 34 through 36 say this, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. In these three verses, we have Jesus instructing us on how we should be during these times, and it starts with a proper perspective of time. He does not want us living with a day-to-day mindset. He wants us living with a perspective set and defined by eternity. I look back at this last year of being a dad, and I realize that at least in year one, the cliche has been true. The days are long, the year felt short. In fact, I can even confess, Jackie and I had plenty of days in year one where getting Riley to bed at 7 p.m. was the carrot dangling in front of us that kept us going. I know, you guys are looking at me right now like, this dude does not eat carrots, okay? Yes, sometimes the carrot was some therapeutic ice cream at the end of the night. Is anyone with me, right? And so, 7 p.m., it was a goal. It was just like, let's just get to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., Riley would go down, Jackie would go to bed, I would stay awake to do the 11, I would stay awake to do the 2, and then I'd go to bed, and it was just every day, it just felt like, can I get to 7 p.m.? Just to get a little bit of rest and get me going for the next day. But what's the reality I face as I'm now raising a daughter? If my focus is just on the day-to-day, I will lose sight of the big picture, which is that I want to raise a fiercely God-loving woman of high character who will love Jesus well first, and from that love, love everyone around her as well. But that goal, it's not going to happen if my daily goal is just, can we make it to bedtime today? Can you imagine? Hey, Jackie, Riley is still alive, she's in bed, my job is done. Can you imagine if I was so short-sighted as a father that rather than having a goal of the adult that I'm forming and raising to be, that it was just every day, oh, I made it to bedtime, she's alive, and I think she ate most of her food tonight, we're good. Jesus is challenging our perspective of time, and he's saying, don't live with a day-to-day focus, live defined by eternity. Psalm 119:50, when David says, my comfort in my affliction is this, your promise, it preserves my life. David was not talking about immortality. What he was saying is, even if things on this end take my life, I have a promise that has preserved my life on the other side. Why? He had a perspective that was defined by eternity, not by the day today. And if I carry that day-to-day mindset into the reality of the terrible twos and threes, never mind the golden teenage years, I will make a horrible father. I won't stand a chance of parenting this beautiful child into what I said earlier. I must have a different perspective than just the day-to-day if I'm going to accomplish my goal in raising the daughter I've been called to raise. Because while I'll always be her father, at some point, this aspect of raising my child ends, and if I don't live with that end in mind, I won't accomplish my goal. And so when you look at this passage and it says, you know, watch yourselves lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. It's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day. There is a lot going on, whether it's job or family, friends. There is so much that the world can throw at you that makes you live with a day-to-day mentality. But the reality is, when you live with a day-to-day mentality, you get caught up in the day-to-day stuff and it weighs you down. But if we can live a life that is defined and set by eternity, we can see through the day-to-day to know there is a greater end in mind. And that greater end in mind gives me purpose and direction for the day-to-day living that I've been called to do. And so likewise, as we wait for Jesus' return, as we wait for the signs that will indicate the times, we need to have a prayer-provided perspective that looks beyond the day-to-day and it sees the end. A prayer-provided perspective. Because the reality is that this day that this passage is talking about, it's going to be something that we all face. There is an end that is going to be a reality for all, but that's why I started with Jesus' remedy for it. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. We started with verse 36, and we're going to end with it as well, because this stay awake and pray mentality, it's found at the end of the next chapter in Luke as well, when Jesus goes to pray, and he takes his three closest friends with him. Jesus is going through the biggest anguish of his life. And he takes his closest friends with him to say, hey, let's go pray together. I'm going to go pray on my own, but can you stay here and pray for me? And you guys know the story, right? The friends are like, yeah, we got you, Jesus, right? We're going to pray for you. And so Jesus goes and he's praying and he comes back. And what does he find when he gets back? Right? They're fast asleep. And Jesus is like, really? Like I'm going through it. I just needed you to pray for me a little bit. And you couldn't do it? Oh, okay. Sorry, Jesus. We got you this time. Go. Jesus goes. He comes back. And they're napping again, right? And that's where we get, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus, he tells them, watch and pray that you don't fall into temptation. It wasn't just watch. But it wasn't just pray either. It was both combined. So that combined, we don't fall into temptation so that we can have the appropriate focus in the times that are to come. But if we're asleep at the wheel, we're going to miss those signs. Have you ever had a close call with falling asleep at the wheel? I had one. So it was the youth retreat weekend, right? And the day after the youth retreat ended was my little sister's wedding day. So I had to come from like central PA all the way to like New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, I forget which one. All I know is it was like 8-10 hours of driving, right? And so I drove on no sleep all night, get to the church. Fortunately, God provided a miracle and all the parents were there to pick up their kids on time. Amazing. Doesn't happen. Amazing that it happened on this morning, okay? And so I'm like, all right, I get in my car, I'm driving home, and I am on the exit to my parents' house. And the exit on 80, if you've ever been on 84 East, exit 9, or 684 to get on 84, right? Exit 9, it goes straight, and then all of a sudden, there's this sharp curve. And so I'm in my car, and I'm on the straight part of the exit, and my eyes are heavy. And my eyes close for just a split second. And the next thing I know, have you ever had that thought where you're like, my eyes are closed, right? I'm like, I'm driving and I'm pretty sure my eyes are closed right now. And I wake up and I am at the curve. Like, it's not like the curve is 20 feet in front of me, 50 feet in front of me. I am at the curve, and thank goodness my little Civic was responsive. I mean, I yanked the wheel, and I just avoided going off the road. Stay awake. You're going to miss the signs if you don't stay awake. In fact, this also reminds me of another time. Actually, my first year here, I got to preach at Revo's youth retreat. And so I did the services, whatever. We're driving home, and I used to be like a chauffeur as well as be a youth pastor full time. So I was working like 19, 20, 21 hour days, right? And so I had gotten used to like little tricks to keep me awake. So I'm driving home from this youth retreat and all of my tricks are failing. And I'm like, oh, 50 minutes. Like this is way too much, right? And so finally I'm like, you know what, Jackie? I do want both of us to live for at like a while. Like, I'm glad we've been married this amount of time, but I wanted to continue, right? So I pulled over and I said, Jackie, you gotta finish the drive. And church, I kid you not, we got out, we did like a little Chinese fire drill, right? So I went around one end of the car, she went around the other. She gets in the driver's seat. She puts the car in drive, and I am in the passenger seat with the seat laying back snoring already. In like less than 30 seconds, I went from driving the vehicle to snoring in the passenger seat. Why? I knew that I wasn't awake or alert that much longer, and I knew I wanted us to live, and I want us as Christians to have the proper perspective that we can't let the day-to-day lull us to sleep because we're bored or because there's no purpose or direction for us, but to know that Christ has purpose and direction for us. And if we have a prayer-provided proper perspective, we can see through the day-to-day to the end, and it helps us stay awake and alert to see the signs of the times and respond accordingly. That we're not falling asleep at the wheel and nearly missing an exit, but that we are staying awake and alert so that we can do what Jesus said to his disciples. We can watch and pray. Not just watch, not just pray. We can stay awake, we can watch, and we can pray in combination. We cannot be asleep at the wheel. We must stay awake and pray, and it's this that leads me to my closing point. Prayer provided proper perspective. It helps us focus on the instructions corresponding to the signs. Worship team, if you guys could come up. If we stay awake and pray, we will find strength to escape the things that are going to take place and the strength to stand before the Son of Man. It's promised to us. But to help us, we've also been left with instructions. And these instructions, they're better than MapQuest. It's the living word of God that we've been given, that if we read and study, if we prayerfully engage with the word, we will find the instructions that help us hold a prayer-provided proper perspective for when the signs come. Because you see, that day, I picked up my sister. I knew what signs to look for, but my instructions were off. And as I just said, we have the instructions. Jesus in this passage is trying to give us the proper perspective so we don't just see the signs, but we follow accordingly. I saw the Dunkin' sign, and because I was told to turn at the Dunkin', I turned left and I wound up in the wrong place. And the reality is this, at the end, there will be some that are directed to turn left. And that when they turn left, they're gonna find themselves in the wrong place. But with a prayer-provided proper perspective, the ones who have proper perspective on both the signs and the instructions, they'll be directed to the right. And by being directed to the right, they're gonna be directed to the right place. To the place where when all is said and done, one by one, we'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Now enter into your reward." Church, we've been given the instructions. There is no excuse for us to say we weren't aware of what the signs would be, or we weren't aware of what our response should be when we saw these signs. We've been given the instructions, and the Word of God is that instruction, and the Word of God will never pass away. It is solid and it is secure, and we can be fully confident that when we study it, not only is it true, but it's going to guide us well. And it all comes down to this: by what are you setting your perspective? How are you setting your perspective for life on this side of things? Because when it comes to the end times, it's the prayer provided proper perspective that will help us see the signs and respond accordingly. And so the response tonight is this: that maybe there's some areas in your life that the Holy Spirit is maybe illuminating and saying, your perspective here is off. Maybe you've set your perspective, you're going through something, and maybe for you, just making it to the end of the day, just like me and Jackie, making it to the end of the day with Riley, getting her down to sleep, maybe for you that has become enough, and you've learned to set your strength to just get you through to the end of the day, and then, Lord, I hope I wake up with enough energy to do this all again tomorrow. Maybe your perspective is just set on the temporary, the here and now, the day to day, and you're feeling lost. You're feeling without direction. And tonight I want you to know that God is saying, when you are connected to me through prayer, God can lend you a prayer-provided proper perspective on where you are and where He wants to take you. Maybe your perspective struggle is this: you've spent more time looking at the problems in front of you than looking at the God above you. And you're so consumed by what's laying in front of you that you've lost sight of just how great and faithful our God is. And so your faith has gotten a little bit shaky, and your prayer life has diminished because you're more consumed by the problem than you are by seeking God, the one who can fix any problem. There are so many ways that we can talk about proper perspective, but the Holy Spirit knows where maybe your perspective is off. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is prompting a response tonight of just saying, can you let me bring things into focus? Do you guys remember eighth grade science class using a microscope? And you put the slide and everything's blurry at first, right? But what? There's the dials on the side and you're looking down, and all of a sudden, as you fiddle with those dials, what's blurry and not in focus, all of a sudden you can see clearly. And I believe that tonight God wants to do that for whatever you're struggling to have proper perspective on. But I want to remind you, it starts with prayer. And that tonight, maybe you know your perspective has been off. I'm not asking you to pick up a set of glasses. I'm asking you to come forward and connect to God through prayer and just say, Lord, I'm here to receive a prayer-provided proper perspective. I want to invite you to stand as we worship. And if that's you tonight, a prayer-provided proper perspective is something you know that you need. I want to invite you, these altars are open, that as we worship, you can respond and seek God. And that tonight, I hope that you can feel the Holy Spirit just take those dials and bring what was out of focus into focus. And that you could spend just a few minutes at these altars tonight and walk out of here feeling restored to a prayer-provided proper perspective.